Sam Cedar, where every day's Casual Friday. That means Monday is Casual Monday, Tuesday, Casual Tuesday, Wednesday, Casual Hump Day, Thursday, Casual Thurs, that's what we call it, and Friday, Casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, May 4th, 2018. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, it's Casual Friday. We're going to look back on the week with Mark Thompson, host of Make It Plain, Sirius XM radio, satellite radio. Also on the program, as part of an ongoing reportorial investigative report, senior Dennis Miller correspondent Andy Kindler will be with us on this week, where Dennis Miller has made big news. Also on the program today, Rudy Giuliani unleashed. It's his latest 9/11. Meanwhile, John Kelly prepares his exit. The feds apparently monitored Michael Cohen's phone. Mitch McConnell kills the blue slip, making way for the most radical makeover of the federal judiciary, perhaps in our lifetime. And how is it possible Scott Pruitt has not been fired yet? Meanwhile, Arizona teachers end the strike, win half a sandwich. Scott Walker literally handing out money in a bid to hold Wisconsin for Republicans. Amazon threatens Seattle, and New York opens a safe injection sites. Lastly, House chaplain dunks on Paul Ryan. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is a Casual Friday. For those of you who watch the program live, you will notice that I am wearing, it is a button-down shirt, but it is a soft-collar shirt. It's really a largely a new style of shirt for me.
That looks like a kind of button-down I might wear.
You know, I'll tell you something, and I don't usually hand out fashion tips, but $12 at the Banana Republic outlet
really sounds
store.
Like one I'd wear.
Exactly. I was shopping and I had two different shirts, and I was like, I went up to the counter. I was like, how much is this one? And how, because they cut like the price, it's a discount at the rack, and then it's another discount when you get to the thing. And when they said $12, I said, I will not be taking these, and I will be taking another one of those. So folks, get used to it. My entire wardrobe may turn into just like 5 days a week of these type of shirts.
They didn't even pay you to say that.
No,
or
they
did
didn't.
They?
No, they did not pay me to say that. Although I'm perfectly willing to give an endorsement for a specific shirt that I find that is under $15, and feels like it's gonna, like, I feel like I'm gonna have this one forever,
dude. If you keep going, I'm gonna make a tailpipe joke.
No,
we got it.
I'm sorry. Some of the other collared shirts I have, you get like the collar will start getting ripped right here. It'll be a little bit white.
Is your Subaru going to be here all night? Hold on one second. I need to get
Nobody
my soft collar.
I know.
About.
That's why it's even more amusing.
All right. Well, listen.
Let's get my Banana Republic shirt.
Let me. We are obviously running. We're getting towards primary season. Mitch McConnell, like I mentioned, and I just want to. I want to just briefly touch on this story because. Longtime listeners will know this one drives me nuts. But there is a hearing on Thursday in the Senate Judiciary Committee on the nomination of Ryan Bounds. He is... Is that microphone still on? Because I'm hearing wrinkled paper over there. Ryan Bounds, the Ninth Circuit. And he is... Now, typically what happens, and this has happened always, that circuit and district judge nominees get written support from the home state senators. These are blue slips. That's the only way that their nominations can proceed to the committee. Certainly when, what's his face from Vermont now?
Leahy?
Leahy was chairman of the Judiciary Committee. If a Republican senator withheld a blue slip, then the nomination failed. Well, there are two Democrats from Oregon, the home state of this judge, Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley. They oppose Bounds' nomination because of his writings in the past that where he is less than supportive of the idea that sexual assault exists. He is not very supportive of workers' rights. He has issues with people of color and with LGBTQ folks. Like, in other words, a classic Republican Trump nominee. And so they refuse to return their blue slips. Well, this is the day or the week that blue slips died. So there is no way for Democrats to stop any judicial nominees on the federal judiciary. And these are lifetime appointments. And these are all the people that you will start to hear when it comes time to appoint the next Supreme Court justice. And elections have consequences. And just because it's not right in front of your face doesn't mean that it's not going to implicate the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And, yeah, I mean, I could reduce this down to saying that Jimmy Dore is an idiot, but it really is far more important than his stupidity. But the next time someone tells you it doesn't matter who is the president and that the judiciary doesn't matter, that is basically your litmus test to know that they're an idiot and they don't understand how our government works. So until, you know, even Jill Stein would not be able to get these judicial appointments reversed. And Jill Stein would not have the opportunity to even make a lot of these appointments because they're filling them at such an incredibly rapid rate. So
even that wily operator,
right,
Jill Stein.
Exactly. So Mitch McConnell chalks up another win. He managed to steal a Supreme Court seat, and now he is making Donald Trump the single most effective appointer of federal judges in our lifetimes. He will do this at a rate that we have not seen before and has done so, even though the corporate media doesn't cover it, it still happens, right? Isn't that the big issue for some folks, what the corporate media covers? I wonder how many times that's been covered by the people who bemoan the corporate media. I'm annoyed by that. Oh, and also, while we're at it, while we're talking about some of these dum-dums, congratulations. We have not entered into World War III, but the White Helmets, the humanitarian organization that helped folks in Syria, they just lost one-third of their funding overnight because the U.S. government has stopped providing them with the money. So, chalk up another win. Success. Loss of 150, 60 federal judiciary seats, at least one Supreme Court seat, and you managed to defund an NGO that was trying to help people who have been bombed. So take the W and call it a week. Meanwhile, like I say, there are primaries around the country, and good old Don Blankenship, he gets out of prison after going there for a year because of his gross negligence, if you could even call that. It's even grosser than gross negligence. In the Upper Big Branch mine explosion in 2010, he was a coal CEO. He's out. He's running for Senate. He wants the Republican nomination, but apparently Mitch McConnell is trying to stop him, and he is having none of it. Well, let's hear what he says, and then I'll explain.
Hi, I'm Don Blankenship, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Swamp Captain Mitch McConnell has created millions of jobs for China people. While doing so, Mitch has gotten rich. In fact, his China family has given him tens of millions of dollars. Mitch's swamp people are now running false negative ads against me. They are also childishly calling me despicable and mentally ill. The war to drain the swamp and create jobs for West Virginia people has begun. I will beat Joe Manchin and ditch Cocaine Mitch for the sake of the kids.
I just want to own in full transparency that I wrote that ad.
I don't know where to really start. I mean, the Cocaine Mitch obviously is a reference to Michael's insistence that Elaine Chao's family.
Is it really just my insistence?
No, it isn't. But maybe he listens to the show.
Yeah,
and
I think
he got
so.
The idea.
But he got the wrong drug.
He got the wrong drug.
The possibility with them is opium and heroin, not
opium.
Cocaine.
Mitch doesn't sound.
That's
as,
true. Cocaine Mitch is.
But
a
But it's
much
weird
better.
Because you're running in West Virginia. You would want that to resonate. But maybe he thinks like if I say opium, people might want to vote for him. I can't understand.
Wait a second. You're telling me who Mitch got? Mitch got to connect.
Yeah, that thing is switched. Oh, no. That thing is switched.
Can you
hear me?
No.
Oh, can you hear me now? Oh, my God. Oh, okay. Do you think he thinks he's being woke by saying
no.
China people instead of China men?
No.
Well, yeah, he's being gender. He's being sensitive to gender.
No, we say China persons now. Chinex.
I'm going to tell you something. Regardless of whatever your category is, as a chink, you're taking our jobs. That could be gay China people. That could be transgender China people.
Right.
In any event, Cocaine Mitch and his swap family is taking our money.
I also like the fact that he got in that knock on how immature they were to call him insane. Right?
It was so super immature.
We play that one more time. That's just, I mean, it does sound like it's been written, like it's like a piece that we did. Even the music in the background feels like, I feel like if we did this ad, like
if we
literally,
had a
fake candidate, if we produced this with just another dude who looked sort of like this and everything was exactly the same, we put pro-life candidate, NRA, people, we would get emails or IMs or calls saying like, that is a bigoted representation of someone who is from, you know, the South or from, you know, Appalachia. And but no,
I would say, yeah.
I want to make this clear. This is not fake.
While doing so, Mitch
Wait, go
has
back,
gotten
go back.
Rich.
Let's play the whole thing.
Hi, I'm Don Blankenship, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Swamp Captain Mitch McConnell has created millions of jobs for China people. While doing so, Mitch has gotten rich. In fact, his China family has given him tens of millions of dollars. Mitch's swamp people are now running false negative ads against me. They are also childishly calling me despicable and mentally ill.
Pause it. The war to super drain- childish to do that. Could you go back to the Cocaine Mitch and swamp people, please, with the China people?
They are also childishly calling me despicable and mentally ill. The war to drain the swamp and create jobs for West Virginia people has begun. I will beat Joe Manchin and ditch Cocaine Mitch for the sake of the kids.
I like how those kids don't seem to have any reaction to sitting there next to whoever that strange man is that's holding them. I mean, maybe it's his grandpa.
That's Grandpappy. He's out of his mind.
he's talking about Cocaine Mitch again.
He's always talking about Cocaine Mitch and China people, and he can't even come back in the state on account of all the minors he's responsible for killing. Right. And he's just all upset about it.
I remember when he was when he got all those profits from just, and a couple of people died, and they held him responsible for it. And now he's back,
and he was so angry. But then he took us all to TGI Fridays, and he said that's the profit motive.
It is so Tim and Eric. Like, I don't think Fake Burger would have to do anything to this.
No, I would actually probably, like, even the cutting style was the same, where they punched in and then punched back out on the same thing.
Vic Burger's a little on the nose. Happy just is what he is.
I would love to set up a side hustle as a Republican political strategist and just write those ads.
We should have our own Republican primary.
Yeah, that's what we should do. We should set up.
You know, there's actually a couple of green candidates
exclusively for Republicans.
They found now a second green candidate who was a former Republican. They're just putting him in there to split some votes.
I'm not a Republican. I'm just a fool.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're talking to Mark Thompson. We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report on the phone. It is a pleasure to welcome to the program Mark Thompson. He is the host of Make It Plain on Sirius XM, channel 127. You can check it out 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time every morning. Mark, are you usually you take a nap at this time, usually?
It depends. No, not usually. I don't get much sleep, honestly. Things are so busy. You know, crazy Trump keeps us so busy. When is there time to sleep, Sam? Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for coming on. Yeah, no, it's pretty nuts. And I get confused. I honestly get confused between like what happened in the past 24 hours or 48 hours or 72 hours, because it is really insane. And I mean, let's start with Rudy Giuliani, because you have, I think, a fairly deep awareness of Rudy Giuliani.
Okay.
He's been brought on, and we have some clips that we should play. Why don't we do this? Let's start with this. Okay. Here is Rudy Giuliani. He is on Fox and Friends. This is yesterday, and he is making the argument. And he's been brought on, and let's be clear, he was brought on 2 weeks ago to basically, he says, negotiate with Mueller. Here he is on Fox and Friends, and we have actually two clips. We cut out 1 minute in between them just to show how quickly it took him to contradict himself. He's trying to argue that Cohen wasn't paid with campaign money, and therefore, when Cohen gave money to Stormy Daniels, it had nothing to do with the campaign. And here's his case.
If we had to defend this as not being a campaign contribution, I think we could do that. This was for personal reasons. This was, the president had been hurt personally, not politically, personally so much, and the first lady, by some of the false allegations that one more false allegation, right. 6 years old. I think he was trying to help the family. And for that, the man is being treated like some kind of villain. And I think he was just being a good lawyer and a good man.
So there were no campaign violations because it was out of Donald Trump's pocket.
That makes it nice and clear. But it wasn't for the campaign.
Right.
It was to save their not their marriage as much as their reputation.
Right. So let's go.
Okay, so there it is. It wasn't for the campaign. It was to save their marriage and their reputation. I have thought from the beginning that this has always been about a prenup deal with Melania, where she would get paid out millions if there was some type of public proof or some standard that was met in terms of him having an affair. But he says over and over again, it's personal, not political. Literally, 1 minute later, in that same interview, he says this.
Couple million bucks, right?
So you're saying that Stephanie Clifford made these allegations, told Donald Trump's lawyer, "Look, I'm denied
them,
public,"
and denied them, and then said it wasn't true. However, imagine if that came out on October 15th, 2016, in the middle of the last debate with Hillary Clinton.
So to make it go away, they made this.
Cohen didn't even ask. Cohen made it go away. He did his job.
Right. So I.
Yeah, there it is. Well, a minute later, he says, what if this comes out during the campaign?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And that makes it political. That is what puts it in the hands of the U.S. attorney. But, each time you hear it, you hear something different. It's like watching a movie more than once. First of all, Sam, I hadn't thought about what you said. I like that hypothesis of a prenup. That's probably likely. But, look, why would I need to pay someone if something is not true, absolutely untrue? Who does that? I mean, if he didn't know the woman, if he never had contact with her, I mean, anybody could say, Sam, that they're in the same room as you and I right now. They aren't. So we're going to pay him? We're just going to pay him off? That doesn't make sense. So to me, you're paying her to avoid embarrassment. Embarrassment for what? For a lie she might tell or for her telling something that's actually true? I think one of the smartest things that Mueller did was give this to the Southern District and take it out of his purview per se. I mean, I know he probably still has his finger in the pie, but remember, Ken Starr didn't do that. He brought the Monica Lewinsky and everything else over with him. Mueller, knowing that Trump may very well fire him, was smart to put it there. Lastly, what you just played was so reckless on Giuliani's part. I'm beginning to wonder if Giuliani has flipped and is actually working for Mueller or the Southern District. I mean, who needs friends? Who needs enemies with friends like that? This is unbelievable. It's also unfair to say, it's also unfair to people with dementia to say that he has dementia. People with dementia don't criminally incriminate their friends. They may forget what time it is or where they parked the car, but they don't go on Fox and Friends and say things to incriminate their friends. So it's really not fair to people with dementia to say that.
Well, that's super sloppy. I mean, I understand what he's trying to do, right? He comes in and he says, okay, he has a team and he probably sends it to his associates and is like, where is the potential liability? And they now have access to a lot of the stuff that was taken from the Cohen raid, A. And then B, he must come in and so he's got that. He must come in and say, okay, where is our liability and what can we lie about and create a story around so that it's not working? And then he literally within a minute of making that story out, he goes on to prove it. Now, remember, this is a guy who has already been cited in a brief and a federal court case that reversed the Muslim ban because of what he said on TV, Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah, I'd actually forgot that. I'm glad you reminded us of that. But also, this what you just played and what we're looking at lends credence to the Washington Post reporting. And I'm not putting a lot of faith there normally, but they're saying no one else knew about this. That may make sense if, in fact, Trump and Giuliani huddled together privately and came up with the plan to handle this in this way. That'll make pretty perfect sense because neither one of them is a mental giant. Neither one of them is intelligent. I mean, all you would need, if my 15-year-old son was in the room, be like, maybe y'all shouldn't do that. But if they'd had no one else to intervene and say, that's probably not a good idea, they know better. Now, but watch this. They have may have agreed to one strategy, but I believe when Giuliani gets over there at Fox and sits down with Hannity and Fox and Friends, it's like he's at home. He's sitting on their sofa. And I think all of them in that studio tend to forget that there are actually people watching them around the world. They're so in their own bubble and so much of a mutual admiration society, they get comfortable. Oh, yeah, you know, guess what? He probably didn't think anybody was watching. Yeah, he paid her. He paid it. And he reimbursed Michael Cohen. What? You don't say that out loud. So I think this puts him in very, very, very bad and irrevocable light.
We should also add that the NDA that Stormy Daniels had to sign, you know, to not talk about the thing that didn't happen, also requested any other subsidiary materials like tape recordings or videos or written documents of this event that never happened. So it's a little bit suspect in that. But I think you're absolutely right about they get into this bubble, and you can almost see like Hannity and Steve Ducey nervous that they're asking the wrong questions. They don't want to ask the question. They think they're asking questions that will be helpful, but they worry now that they're asking questions that are going to sort of dig a deeper hole.
Well, we're just like the young lady on Fox and Friends. She asked a very logical question at one point, and it was a journalistic question. I don't remember exactly what it was. But because she asked that question and allowed him to dig a deeper hole, don't be surprised. You all better get her name. We may never see her again. They may just cancel her off the air. This is amazing. And then last night, Hannity goes on his own show and rails against the so-called mainstream media for covering Giuliani's appearance on his show. Like nobody was supposed to watch that. See, again, they think they're in their bubble and that they should just be left alone to be in their bubble. And the rest of us are supposed to go about our day. Oh, doop to doop to do. He didn't just admit that Trump was fully aware and reimbursed Michael Cohen. It's really an alternate reality, an alternate universe.
And here is, let's play this clip of Donald Trump on the White House lawn. Remember now, this is 2 weeks into to Rudy being hired. Last night, apparently, Rudy Giuliani told NBC News that there is no daylight between me and the president on this. We're on the exact same page. And then within 12 hours.
He is a great guy, but he just started a day ago. But he really has his heart into it. He's working hard. He's learning the subject matter. And he's going to be issuing a statement, too. But he is a great guy. He knows it's a witch hunt. That's what he knows. He's seen a lot of them. And he said he's never seen anything so horrible. As an example, 33,000 emails requested by Congress with a subpoena, and they get burned. They get deleted. And nobody says anything. Give me a break. So Rudy knows it's a witch hunt. He started yesterday. He'll get his facts straight. He's a great guy. But what he does is he feels it's a very bad thing for our country.
He started yesterday. He'll get his facts straight. And, he started a day ago. I don't know what he meant by that with Giuliani, but...
And remember now, Giuliani, I think, had a hand in releasing those made-up questions that they surmised from what Mueller gave them. Again, that's to dull their effect amongst their audience and their mutual admiration society. So, you know, this is it's really a crazy, crazy time. I don't think we've ever seen anything quite like this.
Giuliani was able to sort of ride his national image from 9/11 by repeating the words 9/11 over and over again for really close to 8 or 9 years. I mean, do you think he's just completely outmatched when on the national stage? I mean, this is a guy who never made it past New Hampshire, but everybody thought he was America's mayor. He's just not that bright, but he definitely has a high estimation of his intelligence, it feels like.
Well, you know, if we really wanted to get, you know, go Alex Jones, we would even say Rudy made 9/11 happen. Remember, he was despised in New York in every corner before 9/11 with the police issues that were going on as well as a number of other things. 9/11 saved him. So if we went down the Alex Jones rabbit hole, we'd say, well, anybody who benefited from something like this must have done it.
Right.
So, I mean, he literally, 9/11 did more for Rudy Giuliani than it did even for George W. Bush and all of his agenda. He rode that. People didn't even want to mention his name. They couldn't stand the sight of him. Remember when Abner Louima, the Haitian immigrant who was sodomized with a broom handle by the New York police. I don't mean to be so graphic, folks, but I just want to make a point. When he was sodomized with that broom handle, remember, Sam, the police were chanting, it's Giuliani time, it's Giuliani time, it's Giuliani time. That was the image of Rudolph Giuliani. And if it hadn't been for 9/11, he literally would have not been rehabilitated in the public eye. And he wouldn't have been the faux celebrity on Fox News that he is now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people definitely forget that. And they also forget the fact that he had, basically a love shack overlooking the overlooking the site. And I would also say he had put the command and control in World Trade 7, Tower 7, because he was also reportedly using that as a love shack and didn't want it in Brooklyn, despite the fact that his top advisors had said, you got to put this in Brooklyn because you put it downtown. In 93, there was an attempted there was a bombing at the Trade Center. Yeah. So you wouldn't put
sure
it there,
was.
But he wanted it in that building. Incidentally.
But just one other thing. Now, keep in mind, he wouldn't have been the Darcy. He's come back from the dead twice. He always talks about Hillary Clinton. He's fortunate to let him do that. He let his own base down. The Republicans anointed him to take out Hillary Clinton. He was supposed to get that Senate seat. But because of the very love shack you just mentioned, he disqualified himself. Hillary Clinton became a senator because Rudy Giuliani, presuming he might have been able to beat her, she became a senator because of his failings. And so whatever Frankenstein they think Hillary Clinton was, Giuliani helped enable it.
I had forgotten about that. Yeah,
good. He was going to run.
Yep. I remember now.
And the love shack killed him.
Rudy Giuliani is the gift that keeps giving. And I think, the real question is, I wonder how much longer he's going to be able to, at one point, is there anybody in the White House left to tell Donald Trump, like, hey, he's actually getting you in hotter water now? Because there was a report, I guess today, Donnie Deutsch on Morning Joe said Cohen told him, I guess they have breakfast together occasionally, that Giuliani doesn't know what he's talking about. And so it seems like there's just going to be so many different stories that are going to be out there. And this may confuse things with Donald Trump's base. But at the end of the day, this is going to come down to, a report by an investigator. I don't think they can indict him, but there's going to be somebody's telling a lie here.
Yeah, well, an old adage, a cliche, as I was saying to my audience yesterday, that has kind of governed my thought in moments like these is the old saying, there is no honor amongst thieves. These guys, for whatever reason, even when Trump calls them, whatever they're getting out of it, whether it's a check, whether it's some notoriety to say I was involved in the case, come in long enough, do it. Even if you don't stick around, you get whatever you get out of it. And they're all using him. Pretty soon, he's not going to be able to trust anybody. He's going to be just like Nixon. He's going to be paranoid and alone in the White House because none of this makes any sense. This makes Nixon's behavior look like a paper cut. And as far as indictment is concerned, I mean, I think that is a long shot. But I'm going to tell you something, Sam. I think it's high time, and I hope Mueller is listening, to challenge that. It's really never been brought to a challenge. They were about to do it with Clinton. Let's be clear. If Clinton had not gone on ahead and been willing to testify via video, not only were they going to subpoena him, they were going to try to find a way to indict him. Clinton just avoided all of that. So they would do it to one of ours, but one of ours being a Democrat, or one of ours is not on the right. So they won't hesitate. So for them, that, for anybody to hesitate or speculate, it shouldn't be tested here. You know, I think we need to reconsider that. And how is it that anybody can be completely above the law? That just doesn't make sense. And I think even the so-called founding fathers themselves would, just like I think they would reconsider the Second Amendment, they would reconsider anything that would allow a president not to face any type of charge or scrutiny, because the very nature of the Congress is political. They have the majority, so they're not going to vote to impeach. If we don't have two-thirds in the Senate, they're not going to remove. But this behavior is egregious. He's flouting it in front of our faces. He has no remorse. He's just like, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. This is the same man who said, I'm going to shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and get away with it. And that's precisely what he's doing now, metaphorically.
But I mean, I tend to think that we should not have a situation where you have presidents who can be indicted while they're in office beyond the process for indictment, which is called impeachment. And I agree with you. It's not going to happen with the Republicans, but that doesn't have to be. I mean, that is a failure of Republicans. If anything, you know, I feel like the founding fathers would say, why do you guys still only have 435 congresspeople? You need to have three times that amount so that there's a certain amount of accountability if any of these chumps don't actually say, like, hold this guy to account. And
right.
I mean, I don't know.
I agree. I, what I'm saying is, you're right. I mean, there are ways to do it, and probably certain thresholds. But for God's sake, if a president shot somebody in the head, would we really not want something done? I mean, that would have to be certain high crimes. And I think what he's committed is a high crime. I'm not talking about necessarily the Stormy Daniels piece, but I mean, colluding with another country to be, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know whether collusion is the right word. You know, I'm employed by SiriusXM. I'm not colluding with SiriusXM. Donald Trump may very well have a W-2 from Moscow, and Mueller's going to find it. So he may be a full blown agent. So
do you really think
that? W-2.
Do you think that? Huh? Do you think that's the case?
Well, you know, I don't want to lend too much credence to some of the stuff you see on the internet, but if you look at the timeline, they were cultivating him for a while. And I think they knew they could. I don't think this is just a matter of coincidence. I think the way Putin operates, he probably knew, and they probably knew, the KGB or GRU, whatever it's called, they probably knew, hey, we can probably cultivate this guy, make it look like we aren't, and he won't know the difference. And then the goal is he's still expendable. Because if the goal is to create chaos in our country and in our government, they've essentially accomplished that, and the chaos gets worse every single day. And Putin can sit back in his easy chair and just laugh all the way home. He got two for the price of one. He hated Hillary. He knocked her out. And now he has somebody who is at worst a puppet, at best a buffoon, that's going to cause the government to fail in office. So, you know, they won. And in fairness, hey, the CIA has done this. The CIA has gone in other countries, as we all know, and manipulated political outcomes and whatnot. You know, we're not pure in this. In fact, you remember Trump has said that himself. You don't know how many people the CIA has killed. You know, so he knows. And remember when he said that?
Yeah.
And I mean, he pretty much admitted it. We all know that. I mean, we like to pretend as if we're pure. So, you know, I've even said sometimes those chickens to quote Malcolm X, sometimes those chickens do come home to roost. And maybe that's a part of the thing, too. This is another chicken that's come home to roost, and Putin has managed to fully exploit and take full advantage of it.
That's very possible. There's a bunch of guys at Langley who are just going, we have had a failure of imagination for years. We would have never, ever done something this audacious where we would take a total moron and try and make him president of another country. We always look for some baseline of competency, because how could this ever happen? But all right, well, let me ask you about this, about another guy who seems to have his ability seems to have waned a little bit. I feel like if Bibi Netanyahu had given this presentation 10 years ago that he started off the week with, and that was at the beginning of this week, wasn't it? Jeez, it feels like a long time ago.
Yeah,
where he was trying to crash the Iran deal, and his whole premise was so universally rejected. I mean, I don't know that it's going to make a difference. I think Donald Trump's going to do what he's going to do, but to see that argument fail so so epically, if anything, it makes it harder for Trump to ditch the deal. But I just think that it marks a real change in American society that Netanyahu could be so easily and quickly dismissed what he presented.
Oh, I agree. And mind you, I mean, it's taken a while to build to that, you know, including, you know, he's had the charges brought against him, you know, locally over there. But I think people are now beginning to wake up and realize just what a hardliner he is and how extreme he is. I think people the world over. Well, let me put it this way. Let's say the United States. I think a lot of people around the world already knew that. That's running its course. People are no longer willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on anything, nor are they willing to give extremism the benefit of the doubt. And most of the world is acclimated to the notion that those who he would call his enemies are human beings as well and need to be considered and heard from, the Palestinian people most of all. So he has no credibility to do that. And plus, he can fit George W. Bush for some of the reaction. I don't think you can do those kind of presentations anymore. I don't think Adlai Stevenson did that. That's it. You can't sequel that. They sent Colin Powell to do it, and it got over for a minute, and then people said, no, so let's do this again. Let's go pull Adlai Stevenson in front of the world and show what's going on here. You know, Godfather 1 and 2 was great, but Godfather 3 didn't quite make it, unfortunately. So I think that's a wrap. So anybody listening, you got to come at it another way. I don't think anybody else is going to be able to pull that off again.
It's interesting. I think there's a real, I mean, I think we, this is a bit of a lagging indicator. We are, you know, I think we're, still have, I don't think there's another issue where the U.S. Congress is so unified and really getting progressively more distant from the American sentiment in terms of our blind support to Israel. I mean, I guess you could say stuff like people want people to increase Social Security and want the Second Amendment, and I don't know that there's the broadly speaking an intense level of passion, but it just seems to me over the past couple of years we are starting to see some cracks in this gauntlet of blind support for Israel that is finally starting to wane in some respects. And I think in the Democratic Party in 5 or 6 years, we're going to see a lot more scrutiny and skepticism of Israel. I mean, akin to what we're starting to see with Saudi Arabia, too.
I agree. And it's high time. Again, everything runs its course. It's about time. And then the personalities don't help. I mean, as long as he is in power, somebody like Netanyahu, who's extreme, who's from the old school, who's been involved in a lot of violence himself in some circles, even he would fit the category of being a terrorist, you know, in his younger days. You know, I think people are waking up to it. It's an evolution. You know, people are changing and stuff's happening all over the world, and no one wants to tolerate that anymore. So, no, I agree. They may want to. It's time for him to go anyway. You know, Israel needs younger, brighter leadership and people who want to see about peace as well.
Yeah, I don't see any of those people in the pipeline, frankly, in Israeli politics. That's the problem, is that the younger people are, in some instances, even more violently racist, it seems to me. And I'm not talking broadly. I'm not talking in the general population necessarily, but I mean, at least in terms of like politicians that we see, maybe that's just because the Likud is at the forefront and they're giving a platform for those folks. You know, their minor league team is not looking so, encouraging. But listen, before we go, I know you've been talking about this all week, the Kanye thing. Now, let me say, before we get into this, that if Kanye and the entire Kardashian family was sitting in my studio, I would just be like, who are those people? I have no idea. I don't know. I honestly, like, I couldn't know less. But it seems to me it's a big deal that Kanye is a big cultural icon. And it's, I can't.
And then the Kardashians in the Fayette, they are people are caught up. And that's why, you know, a couple people said to me, you know, Mark, why even give them any coverage? That's just reality show drama. But what I said was, unfortunately, there are a lot of young people right now who are into them and that aspect of pop culture and into his music. And we've got to educate young people not to follow that line. It's bad enough that he's following around under Trump. But let's just go back to Israel for a second. Sam, no one can deny the Holocaust. That's totally inappropriate. And I respect that. That's the way it ought to be. That should not be tolerated. Likewise should be for slavery. You are a slavery denier if you're running around saying, well, it was a choice. Right. That's unacceptable. And we've got to educate. And I changed a few people's minds about that. A couple of my fellow colleagues were like, well, Mark, you know, I don't know them. I'm not really into them. I said, true. But we all need to be singing the same song. That type of lie is unacceptable, because we've got to educate young people, and not just people like me as a black man need to be saying it. People like you and others who aren't even black need to be saying, hey, that's really uninformed and dangerous. Because you mentioned some of the right wing reactionaries in Israel. Well, when you say slavery wasn't a real thing or it was a choice, that enables the treatment of those young men in Starbucks. That enables the treatment of Shakisha Clemens in Waffle House. That enables a young man who stalked the Waffle House in Nashville and gunned down people of color, Stephon Clark, Shiri Ali Saeed, the Muslim Somali immigrant killed by the police just this week. And now we're hearing about the dismemberment of two men in Oklahoma. We gotta hear about. All right, good to see you. Yes. Sorry, somebody just speak to me. So, you know, when you minimize slavery, you do that. When you minimize struggle, you do that. And so Kanye has to be called out on that. And we have to deal with him and encourage him to read and read books, just like young people. You know, we are not, you don't get educated. You don't get uneducated. You don't end miseducation. You don't become enlightened. You don't see freedom and justice and equality by only watching reality TV and Netflix. Now, I'm not trying to knock Netflix. I love it. I'm going to look at binge on Dear White People this weekend. But you got to read Dr. King. You have to read Malcolm, with two other people that he showed disdain for, saying they weren't that big of a deal. You need to read The Miseducation of the Negro by Carter G. Woodson. You need to read Criminalizing a Race by Sharshi McIntyre. All of us, we all are enlightened by doing that. And we need to encourage more young people to read and understand. And those who read, who are more informed, hey, they can become cultural icons themselves, because they can write music and write rap based upon their understanding of knowledge and history. And Kanye just doesn't do that. And I'm very, very saddened that he's in this position. Early in the week, I was very angry at him. I'm sad that he's put himself in this position. I spoke with a friend of his today who was trying to reach out and maybe appeal to him. Hopefully could have some reckoning with him or some reasoning or some intervention. And if so, maybe we can get Kanye to change his mind. But as a one that young people all are looking up to and seeing, no, he doesn't need to be running around saying slavery was a choice.
Where is he getting this from? Like, where is this idea? I mean, because this is a specific idea that, you know, that somehow, like, look, there is something either inherent in black people or, you know, I mean, he's not just denigrating the oppressiveness of slavery. He's also sort of implying that somehow, like, this is a free ride, man. You get room and board, and you just didn't want to go out and engage in the free market or something. Where is this stuff coming from?
Sam, you know exactly where it's coming from. When I tell you, you know it because you've seen this before. What do all modern-day mainstream black conservatives say? What have they been saying for the past 20 years? The Democratic Party is a plantation.
Right.
The Democratic Party, we're all slaves to the Democratic Party. We're all slaves to government handouts and welfare. What Kanye, Clarence Thomas has said that, Uncle Tom Ben Carson has said that, this other young lady who's out here now, Candace Owens, Armstrong Williams, all these people have said that over the years. Alan Keyes. What Kanye did was take it to the next level and say that the actual real institution of slavery, not the one they want to project, as is the case today that's going on today, but the actual institution itself was a choice. So now he's melded those two arguments together, and that's what makes it even more and more dangerous. But he got to that point. He was saying the other conservative line first. Oh, Democratic Party's plantation, you a slave to this, you're a slave to that. And now he's saying he took it to the next level. 400 years, that must have been a choice too. Who's going to allow themselves to be enslaved 400 years? You know, no, that's not acceptable. But that's exactly where he's coming from. He's hanging with the wrong crowd. And as I was speaking with Dr. Ben Chavis on my show this morning, who used to be the head of the Hip Hop Summit Action Network and knows Kanye personally. We both agreed that he's hanging in the wrong crowd, and he's got to be gotten away from those others. He's up under. They've isolated him in that group. If he was around people like you and me, he wouldn't be speaking that way. No way in the world.
All right. Well, Mark Thompson, I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us about this week. Folks can check you out, obviously, on Sirius XFM, or I should say XM, channel 127, 6 to 9 a.m. in the morning. Mark, always a pleasure.
Hey, Sam, thank you for having me. I admire everything you do, and I admire your show. A great new man. Keep up the great, great work. We really need you, okay?
All right. Thanks, man. You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, man. All right. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. We're going to take a, that's the Kanye thing. And then someone else told me, and I I forgot to mention this, but apparently his mom died. Yeah. Did you hear about this?
Years ago.
How many years ago was this?
Like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, and he paid for the surgery. Did you hear this? Yeah. Oh, okay.
That she passed away in? Yeah.
All this is I've discovered this.
I love this.
Did you know he made an album called College Dropout?
I did not
know that.
I did not know that.
I like Kanye a lot. I'll listen to anything where the production sounds like Nine Inch Nails, but I don't get why people are getting so invested in the things a crazy rich celebrity says. I don't know.
And he's got a massive constituency. Snoop posted this on Twitter yesterday about Kanye being white, the new white Kanye, and he looks exactly like Kevin Williamson.
terrifying. Look, I don't get it. Yeah,
that's mean.
Great producer, mediocre rapper, public nuisance. Like, whatever.
He's always been a real mixed bag, he's always had some episodes where he says crazy things, and I don't think people should, I don't know. It's complicated, but you've got to accept it.
It's not that complicated. He's a bad actor right now. He can say what he wants.
Well, yeah.
He's got mental health problems.
But here's the point. I mean, I guess the real issue is, I mean, all of that stuff is all well and good and maybe true. But the point is that he does have some salience amongst a significant constituency that is an important part of a political coalition. And that's the only thing. I don't know how much saliency he has.
I don't think he's going to really move any dials on voting at all.
Yeah, somebody's saying, I saw another show say that Kanye's red-pilling millions, and that's not happening
to
that's
delusional.
At
he's, yeah. He's actually, this is the classic thing, where the people who are most excited about this are conservatives who, 90% of the time are like, oh, why can't celebrities just shut the hell up? And then as soon as, there is even the faintest whiff of actual celebrity interaction.
Right.
Like a 13-year-old boy looking at Penthouse or whatever. They're in heat. But in terms of he's not red pilling barely. And even younger people that I know you might be specifically concerned about in a YouTube audience, Kanye is not that guy anymore. Like, he's been around for a while. He's not like, maybe someone, if it was Chance, maybe if it was somebody like that, possibly. But
I'm trying to figure out where I was speaking to someone literally in the past week and a half who, maybe he does, Mark. I can't remember, but works with a lot of hip hop artists. And he said, you would be really shocked on how many of the people in that community were MAGA.
No.
In 2016. I don't know if they still remain.
No, I buy that.
I don't know.
But for the same reason that a lot of them are hyper-capitalists.
Yeah.
I mean, but that doesn't mean that they're going to come out and say that slavery was a choice.
Well,
50 Cent supported George Bush in 2004. He's like, George Bush is a gangster. I do the same thing in Iraq. This isn't like totally out of nowhere.
But we're talking about a 2016. We're talking about there was fairly depressed turnout in some very important locations amongst African Americans. Now, a big part of that is out and out voter suppression. But there was a lack of enthusiasm.
I'd also ask him, does he mean the artists, or does he mean like
artists,
like Rick Rubin as a producer?
Artists.
Well, there was no artist other than Kanye who publicly said anything.
I don't
positive
think they
about Trump.
Said publicly. He said like just they
wow.
were MAGA.
Then okay.
People and, are evaluating his statement about slavery like this is in any way a rational thing. Like, he's spoken very well about racism in the past. He's clearly going through some kind of episode right now, and people are taking him very literally.
To me, the Holocaust
feel like it's
lasted for a while, so I have to ask myself.
Exactly. Why did it take, why did it take 4 years until you realize, hey, I don't want to go into the oven?
It's what hard because like, slavery's black, Holocaust is Jew. That's why I like the word prison.
Yeah. All right.
He's such an idiot.
All right, folks. Look, now we're going to get serious. As you know, earlier in the week, and really just in the past couple of weeks, it's been announced that Dennis Miller has launched a new podcast. He is, I mean, I say this with total confidence. Dennis Miller is back. And he's come out with a bunch of different media products. And earlier this week, he let us know, all of us, the world, that he was going to read up on Michelle Wolf and then by Wednesday come up with some very mean jokes about her. And I think we know from the special report we did on Wednesday that that did not work out.
Or did it?
Well, our next guest will tell us. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, our senior Dennis Miller correspondent, Andy Kindler, will be with us. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, when you watch the mainstream corporate news, when they bring on one of their esteemed reporters, like when they bring on a Tom Brokaw, let's just imagine a Tom Brokaw who did not have a Me Too situation. When they bring on an esteemed reporter, or they usually have some fanfare, but they have nothing like this.
With a Jew like Andy Kindler, you know you can't go wrong. His ancestors wrote the God Bless America song. A true Obama bot, Andy believes Obama can never be wrong. Yeah, Andy Kindler.com. You made me laugh so hard, I had to write you your own theme song. Andy Kindler.
Yeah. The senior Dennis Miller correspondent. You're the one, basically. You are the one who got it right.
I'm at the National Dennis Miller desk.
Now, Andy.
I'm a National Clearinghouse. Hey, I just came out with my Miller Mad Libs today. Hope everybody buys it. The great old Mad Libs, but you just insert old Hollywood actor. Reference an old thing in Rome. It's going to be great.
Andy, now, some days ago, when...
this is our week.
This is it, right? I mean, it doesn't get better than this for us.
Well, that tweet he did, was it Sunday? That tweet to me revealed everything about Dennis Miller, because you can't tell what he was. Was he making fun of himself? Was he? I think he's starting to fall apart, and his self-deprecation is coming up against his the fact that he's a hideous person.
Wait, starting?
All right. Well, Andy, earlier this week we were on a Twitter thread. Where
I love that we're on that.
We were talking about, we were analyzing what could be the, the Dennis Miller joke. Now, of course, he said, again, reminding everyone what a horrid human being Michelle Wolf is. I'm going to read up on her over the next couple of days, and I will have a few brutally mean jokes about her on Wednesday. We got into a conversation with another person. I don't know if he wants to be public about this, but he was on this thread. And
this was a that's right, exactly. It was a tight circle.
It was a tight circle. And then, now he wrote this. I love this more than life itself. Do you think I'm wrong that he thinks this is a completed joke?
Andy nailed it.
And then, this is on April 30th, folks. I still claim he might be attempting a joke, like making fun of how Michelle prepared. Dennis is a genius, right? And you were correct. He was making a joke. That was the joke.
But I haven't seen him. Why do we know that now?
Andy, apparently you did not listen to our special report on Wednesday. How did we know?
Oh,
we did.
Yeah.
Some serious, serious reporting on this. And in fact, here is we did some digging. I don't know if you're aware of this, but on Wednesday at about 11:30 Eastern time.
I was sleeping.
Episode 2.
Is that 8:30 Pacific time?
Yes. Yes.
Sleeping.
Episode 2. Of the Dennis Miller option dropped. And of course, we were on it. And here is
I can't wait. Thank
the
you.
Revelation that shows that you are perhaps the most insightful comedy critic.
Dennis Miller aficionado.
Dennis Militarian, I guess.
Miller Kremlinologist.
Yes.
Hey, Sam, can you explain one more time what kind of a comic Dennis Miller is? A lot of people out there don't know.
Observational. What kind of comic
he is. Here we go. He does references. Is it references?
All right. What are we going to talk about today? Christian, how are you doing? Christian Blatt, my sidekick.
Thank you. I'm doing great. I've known you for quite a while, but more importantly.
Pause it. Hold on 1 second. Now, Andy, let me ask you this.
We're going to re-review this again.
You do a show. I know. You do a show with your buddy. I don't know if you would call him a sidekick when you do.
I love that guy, Christian. He kills me all the time. Like, you can't hear why he's funny. He doesn't say anything funny, but the guy cracks me up.
All right, but you do thought spiral.
Yeah.
When you come on, you say, "Hey, how you doing? Here's my, you know,
co-host.
Sidekick or co-host." Does the co-host have to say, "Yeah, we've known each other for a long time"? Is that like just a way of like assuring people that you're not just here by
that
mistake?
That would actually, you know, in a morning zoo context, that would actually be really funny. Like the tension of like, "And here's my sidekick Biffo," and he's like, "You know, we've actually known each other a long time." like the bells and whistles quiet down for a second.
I wonder if
they stare awkwardly at each other,
reacting poorly to being called a sidekick or something like that.
That
like,
might be my.
How about
read.
Just like your friend?
If he had any, yeah.
Why can't you like? Sidekick is just the bones are showing just a little bit too much, right?
The only way that Dennis Miller can have any closeness with anybody is to just announce it. He's not going to actually be close to somebody. I've known you a long time. We're very close.
Here we go. Here's Miller going forward.
I've known you for quite a while, but more importantly, how was your weekend, sir?
Well, my weekend was fab, other than getting fully roasted on Twitter for a poorly written joke about how little known Michelle Wolf is.
Now there it is.
Boom.
There it is.
There
it is.
A joke about how little known she
is. I need 3 days. I'll have three. But the thing is, he makes it. It's such a terrible joke. I don't think there's a worse joke constructed in the history of the world. Because he seems to be saying, give me 3 days and I'll write a bit. As if like he's making fun of how they prepare or how he would have. He's so all over the map. Focus, 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 Dennis.
It is amazing because the punchline is I'm going to read up on her over the next couple of days, right? If you're trying to make the joke about how little known she is, you would say what a horrid human being Michelle Wolf appears to be. You don't want to say is because you don't know who she is. And then I'm going to have a few brutally mean jokes about her by Wednesday. But first, I got to read up and find out who she is.
Well, yeah. Give me 3 days. But none of it makes any sense. First of all, you're focused on why Wednesday. You think the joke is going in many, many directions.
Yeah. But,
and you realize it's over.
And the thing is, it's written. It's not like he didn't have a chance to sort of like construct this thing. He wrote it.
I feel like why Wednesday could be a summary of his whole comedic output that I've ever... Like, why?
Well, didn't we originally think that it was to coincide with his Breitbart debut?
Right. Right,
he already made his debut, right? But it was going to be his second column. Where
we didn't pull that.
Second column.
Really going to unwind now.
All right. Well, listen. Let me just make this announcement, and then we're going to go to.
She has frizzy hair, and she's unfunny. 80s movie reference. Bop bop bop.
We should listen to the Dennis Miller minutes. But
Working Girl. I saw her in Working Girl. Boop, boop, boop.
No, we got even a better one. Remember, it was Married to the Mob with Michelle Pfeiffer. Exactly.
They got the same type of hair. What did they do? Go to the same hair salon?
Yeah, because I saw all of his followers were coming back with the tacky carrot top joke. And I was like, it's sort of like petty and mean enough, but Carrot Top, I feel like, was late 90s, maybe, so already way too current for Miller's reference set.
Her hair looks like a theremin was Brian Williams, and I'm on my way to another reference.
Now, Andy, we missed this, and
like
it's upsetting.
That's Dennis Miller's autobiography. I'm on my way to another reference.
A month ago, Dennis Miller was headed to Spokane, Washington, and apparently our folks out in Washington State did not make the effort. But I just wanted to read this headline for you. Comedian Dennis Miller to riff on hashtags, topical material during Spokane show. Here it is.
If you read that article, because I read every article, it's like he's like goofy during that interview. You know, like, I really like the hashtags. The people are into the hash. It's just so crazy.
Twitter can be a rough site, he said with a laugh from his home in Montecito. You know, whenever he feels uncomfortable about what he's done in some way, he laughs. Like, I noticed on that podcast, he's like, I got roasted. It's a fake laugh.
Smart move during the Bush era to do random out-of-context Star Trek references and support U.S. imperial invasions. Now I'm just kind of sad.
Sorry, Uhuru.
So I said, I thought I needed to take a break. I looked up one day and it was around 2 years and 2 months and it was no more complex. Like it or lump it. It's the way people talk to each other now, sometimes brusquely, I might add. And
I think he just leaves the phone on. He doesn't know who he's talking to.
Can I ask you guys a question? At what point does Dennis Miller become too depressing for us to have fun with?
Not at this point yet.
Or is he already and we're still going to do it anyway?
We're really walking on that line.
I think, you know what I like?
I'll know it when I see it.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I like? I love when he does, when we've played like radio interviews with him before, and I love how like the hosts, partially because they're radio guys and also because they like his comedy from the 80s or something, they're all like, oh, now we got a real firecracker with us, Dennis Miller. Hey, Dennis, what do you think about this whole hashtag thing? And he's like, well, you know, I like to eat ice cream, and Nancy Pelosi's a bitch. Is this done yet? Bop, bop, bop. Just, bop, bop, bop. They try to keep the momentum going. Well, he just seems like a broken man.
All right, well,
we'll make fun of him as long as he keeps doing these forays out to revive the career. Because we thought the career was over. He certainly acted like it was over with his act. And now he's making a foray with this new show on Podcast One or something.
Andy, though, to be fair, when we thought his career was dead, we still were making fun
of him.
So.
When we thought his career was done, I was like, is there a way that we could get access to old footage of his NFL commentary from 20 years ago to make fun of?
Well, where is he appearing no longer with O'Reilly? Or have we stopped?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's
gotta
be
over, the
right?
ball on our correspondence. Our crack research team has dropped the ball on this. But we do have a couple of more Dennis Miller minutes. Andy, are you ready for this?
I'm ready, baby.
Miller calls Michelle Wolf the N-word behind the paywall. Tune in next week.
No.
That's the new paywall. Like, Miller finally gets to say what he's always wanted to say, spick.
Yeah.
Behind the paywall.
Can we put you up for like a Polk Award or something like that for figuring out that joke?
You know, I'm always ahead of the curve. I hate people before other people hate them. When am I going to cash in on it?
You know, that is true, Andy, but you basically hate everybody. So there's like a kind of
Can't go by that then. You're right.
All right. So here it is. Here is the Dennis Miller Minute. This is sample. What are we doing? Sample six? Yes. All right. Sample six for those of you who want to look this up later.
This is hitting all of us fresh, by the way.
Yeah.
We don't even preview.
We have no idea what it is.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
we have to. I mean, because twice is tough.
The Miller Minute with Dennis Miller.
Hi, Dennis Miller here. I want to talk about Twitter. Turns out Twitter is a great way for the whole world to come together as one and realize that we truly didn't need to come together as one. Now that our subconscious has found a coat rack on Twitter, every 1/32nd of a notion, every REM flutter, every wispy contrail on an electroencephalogram is being placed on a black velvet jeweler's cloth and subjected to a loop inspection akin to an IMAX colonoscopy. Twitter. Never have lives less lived been more chronicled. Lewis and Clark didn't keep notes as assiduous. On a positive note, before Twitter, you couldn't be sure you were upsetting the creeps who hate you. Now they actually have to hit a button and become your follower, and there's nothing more fulfilling than being followed on Twitter by someone who comments, "Who gives a damn what you think?" On the downside, I'm truly aghast that Twitter has established such an easy threshold for celebrity. Indeed, the last time I saw a bar set this low, I was at a dwarf's wake, and that's the move.
So just really quick, Jamie, the answer to your question is never.
Yeah, never. I almost feel like we need to listen to that again in slow-mo.
How come you didn't say Vern Troyer's wake? Didn't that guy just die or something?
Well, this is. I mean, I don't know when these are from. I mean, these are from like...
Oh, that's right. It's a while ago.
These are from a while ago.
What you do is it's a dwarf joke. If you make it specific to one dwarf, it doesn't last. Bop, bop, bop.
Well, you remember the last one had the KB or the toy company.
That's only about a couple of months ago, at the most. So this is relatively recent. This is part of his comeback. I really get the feeling that somebody's pushing him out the door of the house. Like, you've got to get outside more, Dennis. Let's just listen to that again, because I think
Wait a second, though. I have one bar is so low. Bar is so low, you've got to go down 3 flights just to get a gin and tonic.
That's actually true. At the Commodore Hotel.
I said dwarfs because I don't believe in politically correct terms.
Right, right. Yeah. That's a score against the students.
Still showing my anti-PC bona fides.
Yeah, score one for freedom.
Yeah, I said it. I said it, dwarf. Yeah, I said it.
All right, let's do this again.
You heard
the
me.
The Miller Minute with Dennis Miller.
Hi, Dennis Miller here. I want to talk about Twitter. Turns out Twitter was a great way for the whole world to come together as one and realize that we truly didn't need to come together as one. Now that our subconscious has found a coat rack on Twitter, every 1/32nd of a notion, every REM flutter, every wispy contrail on an electroencephalogram is being placed on a black velvet jeweler's cloth and subjected to a loop inspection akin to an IMAX colonoscopy. Twitter.
Pause it. Okay, now I got it. So, did he say IMAX colonoscopy?
Yes, he did.
What's an IMAX? Like a computer
IMAX.
Screen?
No, IMAX.
Oh, IMAX. IMAX. Okay. Okay, so what he's saying is that every single tiny thought that we have is being examined as if it is a jewel, and he...
the jeweler's cloth in an IMAX theater.
No, well, he's right? saying that yeah. I mean, I get what he's saying here. He's saying that the thoughts that we put up are over-scrutinized.
I wouldn't call them subconscious, though. I have a little bit of a problem with the use of the phrase subconscious to describe literally waking hours typing onto a computer or phone. Doesn't seem like something your subconscious is doing.
I think it's possible he wrote that joke and he was unconscious.
Yeah. No, I think in his case, his life might literally be subconsciously lived. But for most of us, tweeting isn't. It might be a stupid activity.
Yep.
It might be a wasteful activity, but it's not a subconscious one.
All right, let's hear this continue.
He wakes up at night sometimes and he goes, I got it, encephalogram.
Less lived, been more chronicled. Lewis and Clark didn't keep notes as assiduous. On a positive note, before Twitter, you couldn't be sure you were upsetting the creeps who hate you. Now they actually have to hit a button and become your follower, and there's nothing more fulfilling than being followed on Twitter by someone who comments, who gives a damn what you think? On the downside, I'm truly aghast that Twitter has established such an easy threshold for celebrity. Indeed, the last time I saw a bar set this low, I was at a dwarf's wake. And that's the minute.
Wow.
Yeah, he's pissed because now there are people that are more famous than him because of they've been on Twitter.
And fact check, you do not actually need to follow someone on Twitter in order to own them.
That's true.
Right, I know multiple people who make fun of Dennis Miller on Twitter.
He doesn't know how it works.
Right, yeah. I skipped the follow button and went straight to the bop, bop, bop.
That's the problem with the audio minute format is that you get highly scrutinized by people and they break down your audio minute.
The libs get lost in the details and miss the dwarf joke.
All right, so let's move on. Let's go to the next one.
The payoff was dwarf, you idiots.
I'll tell you something, though. I can barely remember the first three, but the writing style for all of these is dramatically different.
But
I
you mean, could tell he just drank some like coffee with stevia or something because he was a little bit more amped up on that one. Like that one, he was just like, "It's 1989.
This is one,
and
I
I'm
wrote.
Badgering some woman who's trying to get away from me at a cocktail bar in Manhattan, and I'm on a roll.
Every mimeograph machine is putting out there, etc."
I wrote this one.
If you can say IMAX, colonoscopy, losers on Twitter jokes, and dwarf, you are flying close to the sun, my friend.
Here we go.
Careful.
Like the Miller Minute with Dennis Miller.
Hi, Hi, Dennis Miller here. I want to talk about apologies. It would appear that modern American life can best be described as the minimal downtime between demanded apologies. Eggshells are the new linoleum. I'm sorry, but lots of folks out there are becoming emotional hemophiliacs, all too eager to throw themselves on the tepid grenade of minor insult. But the main problem with this present-day Inquisition squad is that many of our self-proclaimed open-minded watchguards are among our most close-minded citizens. I'm sorry, but somebody has to say it. I'm also sorry that I've said I'm sorry twice in such a brief missive. And I'm sorry I wrote this over explanation of saying sorry twice. And it's a sorry state of affairs that brought me to this level of agitation. Again, I'm sorry. And yes, as I type this, I'm wearing a sorry. And no, I'm not saying I'm wearing a sorry as any sort of insult concerning Caitlyn Jenner, but rather because the word sorry sounds like the word sorry. And if this all seems superfluous, I'm, well, anyway, that's the minute.
Oh, my God.
Did you hear those?
Did Trump audible kind of wordplay?
What's that?
Do you hear those off-mic groans? Because they were very loud.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just say this. I actually might need to reverse myself here, for which I apologize or I am sorry. Maybe there is a moment where this will stop being funny, Jamie.
Does Caitlyn Jenner wear saris?
No, but she's a lady. Get it?
I don't get it.
Well, you need to. He's just saying, literally, it's a woman's article of clothing from India. So that's a good example.
Sorry,
to bring
right?
Up,
a little wordplay there.
Caitlyn Jenner joke.
Sari, right?
Yeah. Well, all right, yeah, dude. All right, bless you.
I don't get. I don't.
You should apologize
for
that.
I don't get it. Can we go back and?
I don't get it.
What does Caitlyn Jenner have to do with it?
Nothing. It's a Dennis Miller segment.
No, but like he'd be wearing a sari, which would mean he'd be like cross-dressing.
That,
and in his mind, that's trans.
It's trans. Oh. It's the same thing.
Oh, all right. Let's play that.
I'm impressed with what a recent reference that was.
Yeah,
right.
Super,
that is at least
reference.
A 2014 reference. Yeah, that's
so wait a second. So he was saying that his wearing a sari would make him like Caitlyn Jenner.
Right, because it's both girl shit.
Oh, I see.
Exactly.
That is... that's yeah. Pretty lame, but I want to hear it again.
Many of our self-proclaimed open-minded watchguards are among our most close-minded citizens. I'm sorry, but somebody has to say it. I'm also sorry that I've said I'm sorry twice in such a brief missive. And I'm sorry I wrote this over explanation of saying sorry twice. And it's a sorry state of affairs that brought me to this level of agitation. Again, I'm sorry. And yes, as I type this, I'm wearing a sorry. And no, I'm not saying I'm wearing a sorry as any sort of insult concerning Caitlyn Jenner, but rather because the word sorry sounds like the word sorry. Sorry. And if this all seems superfluous, I'm, well, anyway, that's the minute.
Wow.
I don't understand.
I honestly, if you laughed at that, and I don't care about any of the, like, content or meat of it, but just the joke structure of that, you should, like, immediately get a psychiatric analysis. If there is a group of people that are actually laughing
Caitlyn
at that.
He said Caitlyn Jenner. It's a winner.
You guys are like when my cat gets a hold of one of my hair ties she finds on the floor and just plays with it forever and ever, and it's, like, definitely dead, but she's still playing with it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's,
well, the,
I would say
the
that's
other thing
a very
is that here's a guy who never leaves the house, has no contact with people. Who would put brief missives in anything? Why do you add brief? I'm sorry, I added this brief into this brief missive. He has no idea what's funny. He just thinks, oh, the love that I use the word missive.
I think in those last two, because the first three were not like that. They were much simpler. I think he wrote these last two, and I think it's his part of his brand. Like, this is how I go back to being Dennis Miller. The intelligent, comedy for intelligent people by saying missive and saying assiduous and
comedy,
I mean,
for the intelligent people that think if you put sorry and Caitlyn Jenner in the same sentence, it's funny. But
well, I can go high and I can go low
as
a dwarf's
swing. Oh, callback, bop, bop, bop. But you know what it is. You know what is amazing to me, though? And, I mean, this is almost so obvious, it could almost not need to be said. But, like, yeah, like, I'm sorry to say what literally every single person from Fox News to any right-wing idiot on YouTube or Twitter is saying. And I actually have a theory. But what's funny is that maybe Miller is such a shut-in that he actually sincerely, like, maybe he doesn't even watch right-wing media currently. So maybe he really
doesn't, because he probably it's you know, he's so smart.
Just in an internal monologue with himself, right?
Hey, I got one. The bar is so low, it's practically flat in the ground. You can't even get your fingers under the bar because it is equal to the ground. It's so low. That's a low bar.
All right. And it, I think he would say subterranean.
Yeah, well, yeah, very subterranean. I haven't been this hobbled since a dwarf's wedding. That's it. That's the joke.
It's like physically painful for me to listen to him at this point.
Well, all right, this is the saddest part right now because we're at the last Dennis Miller minute.
Oh,
which
no,
means
we don't have any
next
more?
Time we got to go through them starting again at number one.
Oh, I really also want to get back.
Can
to...
we sign up can for we this get, as we... a service and get, like, I'm willing to pay.
Carry them on the show?
Your AM broadcast. Yeah, we could. Yeah, so could we could probably sign
we
up
also
and pay
retrieve
for it.
Some NFL footage of, like, you know, like some like guy like John Madden staring blankly into space where he's like, that triangle defense was like Pliny vomiting on Captain Kirk in a treble when they had Dorf Silva. And I'm like, okay, who the fuck ideas was it to bring this asshole onto our lineup?
I how awesome would it be if the show went under because of the cost of getting the Dennis Miller minute?
Well, the other thing is he's stirred up a lot of people. Like, there's a lot of people now aware of him now making fun of him. You know, he used to be nobody was thinking about him, but now you got everyone's on him.
We're nice. Trendsetters.
As long as they're talking about you, the final Dennis Miller minute.
The Miller Minute with Dennis Miller.
Hi, Dennis Miller here. Want to talk about the Never Trumpers. You know, for them to keep insisting Trump was born in Kenya is just flat out wrong. Seriously, though, America is beginning to notice that the NTs are endlessly going to rotate out their beefs with Trump until they begin to resemble that crew that paints the Golden Gate Bridge. Just as they finish the last girder, it's time to start over again. And you get the feeling Trump loves getting under their skin like a scarab beetle in a mummy movie. Lighting up haters on Twitter.
Wait. Go back to that.
That's the greatest. I don't even know what that could possibly reference.
You know, in the mummy movie, the scarab beetle.
If you ever read a treatment for a mummy movie, it always specifies scarab beetle.
You know, all the recent mummy movies.
It's like a mummy movie.
There was a mummy movie made in 1997.
It was a scarab beetle. Go, all right, let's see.
Bop, that paints the Golden Gate Bridge. Just as they finish the last girder, it's time to start over again. And you get the feeling Trump loves getting under their skin like a scarab beetle in a mummy movie.
Exactly.
Lighting up haters on Twitter is
positive. So he's saying that Trump is like a scarab beetle.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't know what you're doing for your boy here.
Right. It's like haters. A scarab beetle.
In a mummy movie.
In a mummy movie.
In a mummy movie.
Yeah, okay.
On Twitter is Trump's
got a suit of armor. It's like a suit of armor getting stuck with a weasel.
Lighting
it's like you're locked in a small
Twitter.
Box and someone stuck something soggy in there.
Getting under their skin like a scarab beetle in a mummy movie. Lighting up haters on Twitter is Trump's cognac before bed. For how long, though? I think Trump wanted to come into the temple and flip the Pharisees' three-card money table like Ted Neely in Jesus Christ Superstar, and he has. I sometimes sense he now might be thinking, enough, who needs it? My work here is done. I'm out in four. I'll tweet three more State of the Union addresses and then make a baton pass to my VP, Race Bannon, from Johnny Quest. Then cue the good,
Johnny
the bad, and the ugly
Quest.
Music as I ride my golf cart off into the sunset. And that's the minute.
Can I just make question / observation? I feel like that might also be a before getting out of bed cognac as well, in Miller's case.
Can we play it back? Is that
Is
he using
that
song by the New Radicals in his intro? Okay, because they were leftists.
Wait, if you just discovered the shocking practice of right-wing media figures embracing,
you know, the
like,
Stones
left
love Trump, right?
They weren't just liberals, like, they were actually...
I think even Patton Oswalt had a routine about that, like, 10 years ago of, like, welcome back to O'Reilly, the Clash, black people are weird. I mean, yes, of course.
let me just also say this, and now, and I know... to be fair, that Johnny Quest has been replayed subsequent to the time that it aired initially. But I am 51 years old, ladies and gentlemen. And I will tell you that Johnny Quest was off the air before I was born.
I don't know who Johnny Quest is at all.
He has used that reference. I'm not lying. Someone should dig it up. He has used Johnny Quest, I would say, 15 to 20 times. That's really how you know a reference guy is on his last.
Do you feel like he
now,
earned? Do you feel like he felt like he earned it? He's like, I'm going to give myself a Johnny Quest on this one. It's so sunk.
I mean, like, what is the thing that's weird about this is that he's so desperately trying to maintain some semblance of being hip and with it, but his audience now that based on the references, like, okay, you drop a Johnny Quest reference in 1985. Everybody knows that because they're in their 30s who watched it as a kid
but
when they were 10.
But seriously, what was Johnny Quest?
Like, it was a cartoon.
It was a cartoon.
Okay.
It was a cartoon.
I think.
Yeah, it was a cartoon. And, I don't know. Let's hear it again.
Miller Minute with Dennis Miller.
Hi, Dennis Miller here. Want to talk about the Never Trumpers. You know, for them to keep insisting Trump was born in Kenya is just flat out wrong. Seriously, though, America is beginning
Pause
to notice.
And we should also just remind you that the primary driver of the Kenya birth certificate thing
was Trump.
Was Donald Trump.
Well, you know what an obvious direct parallel to draw is for any basic comedian or commentator is the comparison between boring mainline Republicans who are like, we have terrible policies, but we just can't stand Trump because he's so utterly grotesque and almost certainly a criminal. And a racist conspiracy theory about Obama being born outside of the country. It's the same thing, obviously. See patterns.
Oh, man. It's that the NTs are endlessly going to rotate out their beefs with Trump until they begin to resemble that crew that paints the Golden Gate Bridge. Just as they finish the last girder, it's time to start over again. And you get the feeling
what does that
Trump
mean? I don't get someone explain that to me. Is that what happens on the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yes. They paint it and they're always painting it. They always
because their union, is it a union joke?
No, it's a joke that the bridge is so big that when you get to one end of the paint, you got to start again, and Never Trumpers continue to be Never Trumpers.
Like in the same way that like every single day there's a new criminal accusation.
And
or so like a coat of paint, Donald Trump F's up every single day.
And like the word never suggests never, ever, but not. As in forever not.
In, don't you?
As in forever not. So it's like infinity. Like definitionally, if they were not never Trumpers, they would be. Maybe sometime in the future we'll be Trumpers.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I have some breaking news here from part of our support research staff here on Twitter. This is from May 4th, 2012, and this is at Dennis, DMZ, Dennis Miller. Elizabeth Warren just I don't know what he's speaking to, but that isn't the main point. Elizabeth Warren just clarified things by revealing what she meant to say was that she was 1/32nd Johnny Quest's best friend.
Oh, thank you, please.
Oh, my God.
Keep coming. Keep
now,
coming,
wait a second.
Baby.
You guys are killing me.
That is doubly.
Oh, that's the Native American
wait,
thing, right?
Yeah, no, yes, except for on Johnny Quest, there was a guy who was a Sikh who had a turban.
Oh, my God. He's linking Native. He's like. Red dot of feather, bop,
yes.
Bop, bop, bop.
Yes,
bop.
In fact, here, put up a picture of Johnny Quest.
Oh,
you'll see him.
So awesome.
His buddy was a
this is Pete
an
Miller.
East Asian
this is Pete
Indian
Miller right here. I'm doing the intentional Indian confusion, and also another Johnny Quest reference. That is amazing. Thank you. I want to just say at
Look,
Lizard Rumsfeld.
No, go back to the images.
I think underdog is a funnier reference. Why did he go with underdog?
Oh my God, no, this it's a Sikh guy.
Yeah,
with a little
he's a kid.
Dog.
He's a kid.
Oh, he's a Sikh kid.
Yeah.
Well, that was actually very progressive of the time.
I did watch this show. I think it was on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, they may have re-aired.
That is unbelievable. So he's saying that if she acknowledged that she was, oh my God, the Sikh and the Indian, yeah. This is just Dennis Miller.
It's a double shot.
It's a double bop, bop, bop,
double
bop.
Shot. All right.
It's a joke that makes you go, I wonder why Dennis is still working.
It's a joke that's like, did he lose a lot of money? Because why is he not just eating Pepperidge Farm cookies by himself?
I mean, you know, honestly, there is a real quality, and this is where I think, I want to take it down a moment. There is a real quality of sadness here, because you definitely get the sense that he is not into this. That it is, he had a meeting.
He can't like Trump, right? He can't be like Trump.
He might, but I get the feeling that he met with his accountant, and his accountant was like, now that O'Reilly's not paying you, Denny boy, you got to get it back out there and try and juice it.
His accountant sounds like him, Sam.
Yeah.
Don't you think that everybody...
only has people who sound like him. Yeah. Hey, look, Dennis, you got to get back out there on the road. Bah, bah, bah.
Hey, Dennis, your wife's going to divorce you because you're a weird shut-in with multiple bizarre emotional issues. Bop, bop, bop. That's his therapist.
Was he always like this, or did 9/11 give him the brain worms?
9/11 pushed him over the edge. He's always been a horrible person. I will say this, he can sue me, whatever it was. I've not met one person, well, maybe a couple people. He's just generally always been a horrible man.
Good to know.
He is. I mean, that is true. So, I mean, and that, of course, is just an assessment. It is not a statement of fact.
9/11
simply your opinion.
That's right. That's good, right? So I'm not going
to
get
right. And a function of everyone that you've ever spoken to.
Every single opinion that's been shared. I just want to. I think he saw 9/11 happen, and he was like, "There's a whole geography of obscure references." That is everybody else is just like, 9/11 changed everything. He's like, I have not done nearly enough. Shoehorned in enough Raghead references into my material at all. I was totally sleeping on the threat. Bop, bop, bop.
Well, Andy,
oh, man.
I'm feeling
10
like...
10 years ago, it would have been a gypsy joke. Now it's a Bin Laden cab driver joke. Oh, my God.
Really, bop, really bop, changed bop. People.
I feel like we have definitely qualified for, if not a Polk, Pulitzer.
Oh, no.
I mean,
very serious work.
Do they give out the Pulitzer for this type of stuff?
It's like Huckleberry Hound. That's all I got.
I've been doing the timestamps. I just want you guys to know you've been doing this for 37 minutes and 30 seconds.
What is new about this? We usually do more. You got to roll with the crew here. This is what it is. There's going to be many. Believe me, it's going to continue.
This whole
We're going
segment
for
is like
older demographic. People it's like still know that Dennis Miller is a reference.
I watched Showa in less time than this segment has lasted.
No, seriously, I fast forwarded through most of Showa. It was boring.
It's like Edward Teller when he came up with the hydrogen bomb and he didn't realize there were other bombs as though it's something from Area 51 or something.
It's like a
a lot of people could be watching this going like, that's why Dennis Miller is good at what he does. He can come up with those.
That's true. I don't pretend to be at his level.
You just don't have the references.
The last time I was at his level, I was at a Dwarf's Wake.
It's like Andy. The Grinch stole Christmas, not the Jim Carrey remake, but the original cartoon, babe.
I don't want to act like a Richard Dreyfuss and pulling down the lingerie in the shower, but I gotta say goodbye.
You know what I also love about this is that there's a whole other set of references that I have no clue about.
It's like Richard Dreyfuss in The Apprenticeship of Duddy Kravitz, and also he had one scene in The Graduate.
You know, I don't want Andy on the show.
Again, I have no idea. You know what? This all started with the best one. And at least in this case, it was actually a good movie, which like is totally out of date, but people probably should see. But that was the whole like Hillary. But it's so marginal. Like even like I saw Goodfellas. I like Scorsese movies. I did not remember this when he said Hillary Clinton's like Karen's mom. And I rewatched it recently.
Oh,
and
that's
Karen's
right, that's
mom
right.
is. And by the way, she's nothing like, you know how big of a sexist you have to like to say, because basically like Karen's mom is this ultra Queens Jew who's oblivious to everything besides the fact that Henry Hill is wearing a or is maybe potentially not fully Jewish. And they, so as if like he just hears Hillary Clinton being like, where did you go to shul? It's the most ludicrous, amazing, dated. It's like a dated reference that wouldn't make sense in context of a context appropriate reference. It's great.
So the YouTube commenters are all wondering when this is going to end. I told them to hunker down.
Yes. Well,
why are you feeding the losers and the haters?
Well, we actually do got to wrap this up.
Colonel Blake
hesitant to do it because of...
now we can't indulge
now
that.
Now we can't even start it. But,
yeah. I haven't seen this many people complaining since Captain Kirk. I don't know. Bop, bop, bop.
I got news for you. It's called YouTube, not Me Too.
I got news for you. Hey, maybe you should bring back Newsflash.
Newsflash. Newsflash. I hate to make a short missive here, but it's YouTube, not Me Too.
I haven't heard this many people
it's complain my tube,
since
not...
the cancellation of Johnny Quest.
Andy Kindler.
No, they're accepting it now. It's fine.
Andy Kindler, reverse psychology. Andy Kindler, you are a national treasure. And
that's true.
I am so proud of myself, and yet I'm disgusted with myself. Because that's all I can think about is Dennis Miller.
May I offer a slight a creative suggestion for us and a slight olive branch? Obviously, it's still going to be 90 to 10 Miller content, but I'd like to do a little bit more Bill Maher stuff.
Well, we gotta branch out. We gotta good. Go branch out. We're getting a little bit.
I'd like to do a little more.
It's
Bill Maher.
A little bit too much Miller time. It's true, but we will probably be doing this until Dennis Miller takes his last breath, and then we'll take a week off, and then we'll do it
and
again.
And then we'll go to the archives.
And then we'll go to the archives. Andy, always a pleasure, folks.
I love you guys
thought
so much.
Spiral.
Wait.
Thought
week.
Spiral.
Oh my God.
Right.
Thought spiral.
Oh, yeah. Listen to Thought Spiral.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Bye, Andy.
Bye, Andy. Thank you.
Bye-bye, guys. Love you.
All right. There it is, folks. Andy Kindler. Andy Kindler. Now, we do have a Jimmy Reefer Cake song. There was some question as to whether or not we would play this one.
Borderline Mutiny.
I definitely want to play it because H.A. Goodman.
You're so indulgent.
With all due respect, and I do mean this respectful, I don't like to pick on people. H.A. Goodman. Has no coherence to anything he says beyond some type of rabidness. He was a libertarian and then for 5 minutes wasn't. He is an avowed Donald Trump supporter. And I mean, to be fair, I only know this from because I had seen one or two tweets, I think.
With Tim Black because he thinks that the DNC is a bigger problem than the GOP.
I see.
And Tim Black is Tim Black.
So, but here is Jimmy Reefer Cake espousing H.A. Goodman. Is that right? Okay.
Hey, Sammy. How you doing, buddy? So you are the best at debating. I mean, not that I always agree with you, but the best at debating, you love to debate. And they had that awesome debate with Cliff Schecter. So this is what I'm thinking, though, man. Forget about Dave Rubin, you got to think about H.A. Goodman. Debate him, right?
Sure.
Oh, his name is H.A. Goodman, and he's an author, columnist, and journalist.
Really?
When it comes to exposing hypocrisy, H.A. is the best. There once was a time when H.A. thought that Democrats could be cool.
When was that?
Until the DNC stole the primary and made Bernie look like a fool. That's right, H.A.'s the Bernie bro turned Trump supporter. You gotta debate him, dude. Here we go. They say that H.A. Goodman focuses on the same old stories.
He does?
In response to that claim, I'm giving you a profanity warning. Fuck all you Clinton loyalist hypocrites. We've had a goddamn enough of it. If you hate Hillary and Nancy Pelosi, then H.A. Goodman is the host with the mostie.
Now, why wouldn't why wouldn't, if you hated Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, why wouldn't like someone like Sean Hannity also fit the bill?
Because I don't know. Because they're not on YouTube. They're not pro-pod enough. I don't know. I have no clue.
There you go.
Speaking to the left, I guess.
I think Jimmy Rivercake is definitely, as I say, he really... If Jeff Sessions wanted to go on a national tour and reach out to a broader base of people to actually warn the dangers of marijuana and what it could do to somebody's cognitive function, yes. Because I always thought, I was like, yeah, if I ever had kids, I wouldn't really think it was such a big deal. But now I listen to those songs.
Not until your brain's fully developed.
Yeah, exactly. You need to take your time, young man. There was somebody named Jimmy Reefercake. Okay, just listen to this. Do you want to sound like this?
Right.
Do you want to be this fucking stupid?
I guess I would debate H.A. Goodman.
Really?
I mean,
I've only seen like one or two.
I don't know
videos.
That
he
I would
seems
want him.
Really, well, I mean, he seems like the type of guy that I don't know if I would want to give my like Skype number to.
Yeah.
What's his deal? Never heard of him.
He's you no need to.
He
hear
was
him.
A libertarian who was who ended up being very supportive of Bernie Sanders and then ended up being
but in a way that
nuts.
Even then was already myopic and delusional. Like he would write these columns that like
are
were
people...
sit like even at the time, I mean I wish they were true, but he would write like Bernie's gonna win and Hillary is going to a Pakistani prison in 3 weeks.
Right.
Why like, would a libertarian support Bernie?
Because there was a market opportunity.
Yeah.
He's the sort of person I think of when Bernie was being really successful. It's like, well, he's going to have some followers on and people that are just there to cash in on this. And H.A. Goodman is one I suspect that that's where he was at.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, head into the fun half of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Just a reminder, it is your support that makes this show possible. You can become a member today at jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, don't forget to check out Antifada at patreon.com/TheAntifada.
Yes.
The Antifada.
Thank you.
Also, The Michael Brooks Show. You can find it on iTunes and on YouTube. The Michael Brooks Show. Quick break. Head into the fun half, 646-257-3920. Oh, listen, we are redoing our set. We're sprucing it up a little bit. And so Monday, it does not look like it will be live, but it'll be new interview. Same on Tuesday. Not 100% sure about that, but that is what it's looking like. All right, till then, folks, see you Monday, sort of.